The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will share with you information from various medical sources. From the People's Pharmacy, clearing up confusion about peppermint oil. The question, I am confused about using peppermint oil for digestive problems. You have written that it is helpful for irritable bowel syndrome, but I read elsewhere to avoid peppermint if you have GERD or gastroesophageal reflux disease. The answer? Peppermint is purported to relax the lower esophageal sphincter, which may let stomach content splash back up into the esophagus. When peppermint oil is administered in a special enteric-coated pill, however, the pill gets through the stomach without dissolving and aids the intestines, and that's cited in the Journal of Clinical Gastroenterology, July 2014. One reader said, my daughter suffered from IBS in high school. Enteric-coated peppermint oil capsules before each meal did the trick. Question. I took glucosamine and chondroitin for years, but switched to a supplement of boswellia with turmeric. I have very little chronic pain now, and before my hips hurt every day. Movement also is key, I believe, so I walk, lift weights, and do yoga. Answer. Turmeric and boswellia, which is Indian frankincense, are potent anti-inflammatory herbs. Both have been used for thousands of years in ancient medicine. Anyone who'd like to learn more about approaches to ease joint pain may be interested in our new book, The Graydon's Guide to Alternatives for Arthritis. Question. I have twin daughters who both had bad coughs for a week. I had some Vicks vapor rub and put it on the feet of one, and she slept like a log. I bought more Vicks for my other daughter, and she also stopped coughing when I put it on her feet. The answer, skeptics find this home remedy ridiculous. They may not understand the role of translint receptor potential channels in stimulating sensory nerves. When such channels are activated, they initiate impulses that can reach the spinal column. These may suppress nerve input in the cough center of the brain that triggers a cough. Vicks Vapor Rub contains menthol, camphor, eucalyptus oil, and thymol. All of these can activate TRP channels. Asthma inhaler leaves reader too hoarse to talk. The question, I used Advair to treat my asthma for several years. Bit by bit, I started getting hoarse. It got so bad that people constantly were asking me to repeat myself, and no one could understand me over the phone. I stopped using Advair, and the hoarseness went away, but my breathing got worse. Do you know of a solution? The answer, inhaled corticosteroids and bronchodilators are a cornerstone for treating breathing problems like asthma and COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Drugs like Advair or Breo and Symbicort have become very popular. They are a convenient way to relieve airway inflammation and make breathing easier. Inhaled steroids are less likely to cause systemic side effects, such as osteoporosis, diabetes, and low potassium, than oral drugs like prednisone. However, many people report hoarseness or other voice problems as a side effect, and that's cited in the Journal of Voice, May 2017. Unfortunately, researchers have made little, if any, progress on understanding and treating this problem. Patients often are advised to gargle after inhaling their medicine. It is not clear, though, that this is particularly effective. Question. I read on your website that hydrochlorothiazide is linked to skin cancer. Your alarmist piece will not cause me to hesitate in popping my HCTZ this morning. Its protective effects against heart disease and stroke far outweigh these findings. If they have any truth to them. The answer? Danish researchers previously found a strong association between long-term use of hydrochlorothiazide and squamous cell cancer of the lip. That's cited in Journal of Internal Medicine, October 2017. Their most recent study reported that people who had taken a cumulative dose of at least 200,000 milligrams of HCTZ over many years were seven times more likely to be diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma. That's cited in the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology online December 3rd, 2017. Question. I have had issues for years with cracking on my fingers, like deep little cuts. The only thing that ever helped was Nu Skin liquid bandage. It burns when I first put it on, but it seals the cut and keeps it from getting bigger and deeper. Answer. Many other readers like liquid bandage for healing cracked fingers. Some also report success with household instant glue. Doctors now use a medical grade of instant glue to close some wounds. Now from the Harvard Health Letter. Quick Start Guide to Headaches. Pain from migraines, cluster headaches, and other types of headaches require very different treatments. Pain around the eye and throbbing on one side of the head, they're common headache symptoms. But what do they mean? Many times people assume a headache is due to sinusitis, and they put up with it for years, says John Pettinato, a neurologist with Harvard-affiliated Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Understanding your pain can help you find the best approach to treatment. Migraines. The pain of migraine headaches begins and sometimes remains on one side of the head, with pain stretching from the front to the back of the head. Most of the time it's a throbbing, pounding pain, says Dr. Pettinato. Migraines make people sensitive to light and sound, may cause nausea and vomiting, and can last for a few hours or even days. Preventive treatment often includes prescription medication such as Topamax. Tension headaches. A tension headache usually feels like a tight band around the head. It can start in the neck and back and may be associated with neck or shoulder tension. This can be treated with something simple like rest, Dr. Pettinato says. Cluster headaches. Cluster headaches are rare, with a terrible stabbing pain around the eye. It lasts about 90 minutes, goes away, and comes right back. Other symptoms include redness or tears in one eye and nasal congestion. Treatment includes the calcium channel blocker verapamil and a sustained release formulation, either Kalan and others, the steroid prednisone, and the mood stabilizing drug lithium. Sinus headaches. Sinus headaches occur with sinusitis, nasal congestion, postnasal drip, and sometimes fever. These headaches are usually behind the eyes and nose and feel more like pressure than pain, explains Dr. Pettinato. Migraine headaches can occur in the same area, and that leads to confusion with diagnosis. Treating the sinusitis, sometimes with antibiotics, usually resolves the sinus headaches. Reporting symptoms. Severe headache symptoms that come on suddenly should be treated as emergencies, unless they are migraines that you have learned to recognize. Go to an emergency room and get evaluated to make sure it's not a stroke, a brain tumor, or a ruptured brain aneurysm. An occasional headache is probably nothing to worry about, but when the pain becomes chronic more than once a week or interferes with your life, it's time to tell your doctor. Pill-free treatment. Once underlying causes of headaches are ruled out, try some of these strategies to keep headaches from returning. Manage stress. Meditation and yoga are helpful. Walk daily. Aim for 20 minutes. Try acupuncture. Research suggests that acupuncture may help prevent migraines and occasional or chronic tension headaches. Don't skip meals. That triggers headache in some people. Eat a protein snack in between meals, too. Stay hydrated. Dehydration is a powerful headache trigger. Using drugstore remedies for headache pain. It's tempting to reach for an over-the-counter painkiller to make headache pain go away. while this may be okay occasionally, it's not a good solution for chronic headache pain, that is, headache that occurs more than once a week. Long-term use of either acetaminophen, such as Tylenol, or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, such as ibuprofen, Advil, naproxen, Aleve, or aspirin, is associated with numerous problems. Taking large doses of acetaminophen, more than 3,000 milligrams per day, can damage the liver, especially if you drink alcohol while taking the drug. Acetaminophen also may increase the risk of bleeding if you take warfarin. Long-term use of NSAIDs is associated with ulcers, stomach bleeding, kidney problems, high blood pressure, and increased risk of heart attack or stroke. Even short-term NSAID use appears to slightly raise the risk of heart attack and stroke. Ironically, regular use of these painkillers can actually make headaches more frequent. Excessive use of any medication can cause overuse headaches. We're not sure why. Maybe it lowers the threshold for a headache to start, says Dr. Pettinato. His advice for chronic headaches? Try to avoid NSAIDs and don't take Tylenol more than twice a week. Better balance, activities to keep you on an even keel. Sports, walking, and stair climbing may boost balance and keep a stumble from turning into a bad fall. When you want to improve your balance and reduce the risk of falls, you might turn to a physical therapist for an evaluation and special exercise. But sometimes other types of physical activity can do the job. People are surprised at how adding just a little extra activity can make a big difference with their balance, says Joy Orpin, a physical therapist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. Balance problems. Balance impairment may be linked to changes in vision or muscle strength, joint stiffness or pain, inner ear problems, or decreased sensation due to joint surgery, ankle sprains, or neuropathy, nerve damage that causes numbness or burning, especially in the feet. Other contributors to poor balance include a sedentary lifestyle or medication side effects. Don't wait until your balance becomes unsteady. Avoid a fall and potential injury by addressing underlying conditions that may lead to trouble. If your balance is already in good shape, it's important to keep it intact. Try these activities. One easy way to keep your balance on an even keel is to add some of the following activities to your day. Walking. Walking is good for muscles and bones, and brisk walking is aerobic exercise, the kind that gets your heart and lungs pumping. To improve balance, slow down on a brisk walk and walk sideways or backward for 10 steps. Walking sideways gives your body a little practice with taking a step sideways, which is an important reaction strategy to prevent a fall. Backward walking challenges your body's other balance systems since you can't see where you're going. Stair climbing. When you climb without holding onto the railing, it helps train your body to balance on one leg and improves leg stability. Coming down the stairs forces you to control foot placement since you are working against gravity. Stair climbing also builds strength in your legs and core abdominal muscles. Orpin warns against stair climbing without holding on to the railing if you have any balance issues. If you are unable to stand on one foot for at least 7 seconds, and if you are unable to climb with one foot over the other. Golf. Golf includes a lot of weight shifting as you swing and your trunk rotates. That weight shifting challenges your balance, Orpin says. Golf also works your core and arm muscles, and your legs get a workout if you skip the golf cart and walk the course. Tennis. There is a lot of forward and sideways movement in tennis, and your coordination and reaction time are challenged, which helps balance, explains Orpin. Tennis also counts as an aerobic activity, and it helps keep your muscles strong. Soccer. Playing soccer gives your balance a number of challenges. There are a lot of things going on around you that you have to react to. The ball. The players. Your body has to make adjustments throughout the game, Orpin says. That translates to everyday life when you have to adjust your pace. in a crowd or react to something quickly in your environment. Tai Chi or yoga. These ancient exercise regimens combine postures and breathing methods that train your body to shift in space and control movement. They push your limits of stability sideways, backward, and forward, says Orpin. The further we can push our limits of stability, the more our body is able to maintain balance without having to take a step to prevent falling. Tips to start. Get your doctor's okay before starting any of these activities, especially if you have balance, heart, or lung problems. You can find adult soccer teams, Tai Chi classes, or yoga classes by contacting your local YMCA, community center, or soccer league. If you're not a tennis or golf player, it's not too late to take up the sport. Some nonprofit groups such as City Parks Foundation in New York offer free lessons for elder adults. For other ideas to improve balance, check out the Harvard Special Health Report, Better Balance, at www.health.harvard.edu/bb. What should you do about those unpleasant eye floaters? Debris in your vision is a nuisance, but you may have to live with it. Strings, blobs, and cobwebs, they all describe types of specks that may appear to float across your field of vision. These floaters are usually just a nuisance. In many cases, floaters become less noticeable or more tolerable over time and can even disappear entirely, says Dr. Jeffy Heyer, an ophthalmologist and Harvard Medical School instructor. But for some people, floaters are distracting to the point of interfering with vision. Where do they come from? As we age, a thick jelly-like substance that fills the center of the eye, called the vitreous, starts to form dense blobs. Some of this debris may wind up floating around and blocking some of the light coming into your eyes. Most floaters are small and don't bother vision much, but one kind, called a Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, ring, is larger in ring shape. It can interfere more with vision than other floaters. This larger type of floater is caused when the vitreous, which normally hugs the retina in the back of the eye, frees itself from the retina. Treatment. Right now, Dr. Heyer recommends only two approaches to dealing with floaters. Ignore them, or in extreme case, have surgery. In the surgery called vitrectomy, a surgeon removes this gel, along with its floaters, from the back of the eye. It's effective, but it has risks, including cataracts or cloudy lenses and retinal detachment. It's usually a last resort for people whose floaters make it hard for them to see. A laser zaps floaters? Another treatment that's not currently recommended, a laser procedure called YAG vitreolysis has begun to get attention. YAG vitreolysis vaporizes floaters by heating them. You can see the tissue turn into gas bubbles, says Dr. Chirang Shah, a Boston ophthalmologist. The procedure is controversial, mainly because some doctors have been offering it since the early 1990s without any solid evidence about its safety and effectiveness. But Dr. Heyer and Dr. Shaw recently showed that YAG, vitreolysis, may deserve more investigation. They randomly assigned 52 people with Weiss ring floaters to receive either YAG vitreolysis or a sham laser treatment. 6 months later, 53% of patients in the YAG group reported significant or complete improvement compared with none at all in the sham group. The results were published July 20, 2017, in JAMA Ophthalmology. The new study is important because it's the first study of YAG vitreolysis in a randomized controlled trial, the gold standard for testing the effectiveness of treatment. The results are also noteworthy because using the laser didn't result in any tears or retinal damage within the six-month follow-up period. This was certainly encouraging, but we need more studies, says Dr. Shaw. Critics of the study point out that it involved only people with Weiss rings as opposed to either more common types of floaters. Therefore, the effectiveness of the treatment for these more common floaters remains to be demonstrated. Dr. Shaw agrees, our results are not applicable to all patients. He encourages other eye doctors to study YAG vitreolysis for all types of floaters. What should you do? Until we have better evidence for YAG vitreolysis, and Dr. Shaw says several clinical trials are underway, your best bet is to ignore floaters and simply watch for the sudden appearance of new ones. If you see them, call your doctor to report them. And if the strings, blobs, or cobwebs are more than a nuisance, talk to your doctor about whether the benefits of surgery outweigh the risks. You may be a candidate for surgery if you have floaters that keep you from performing daily activities or work, says Dr. Heyer. Red flag floaters. A more serious condition that can be confused with floaters is a detached or torn retina, which can cause a sudden shower of floaters, flashing lights, or the appearance of a curtain coming over your vision. If that happens, you should immediately call your ophthalmologist, a medical doctor who specializes in eye care, not an optometrist, if you have one, or your primary care doctor. A detached or torn retina requires immediate diagnosis and treatment. People at risk for retinal tears include those who are older, are nearsighted, have a family history of retinal tear detachment, recently have had floaters that the eye doctor says were caused by the vitreous freezing itself from the retina, and have had eye surgery. Pulse power. Easy ways to make plant-based proteins a regular part of your diet. Beans, lentils, chickpeas, and other pulses are loaded with protein, fiber, and other nutrients. Legumes are a great source of protein for those on a meat-free diet. Lately, one branch of the legume family has been in the international spotlight. Pulses are legumes that are harvested for their dried seeds, such as chickpeas, garbanzo beans, lentils, and dried peas and beans. They're such an important protein source that the United Nations declared 2016 the International Year of the Pulses. When we as nutritionists talk about beans, most of them are pulses. Kidney beans, navy beans, black beans, broad beans, lima beans, butter beans. There are quite a few, says registered dietitian Kathy McManus, director of the Department of Nutrition at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. By contrast, legumes such as soybeans, peanuts, pea pods, and green beans don't count as pulses. Why the fuss? Pulses are nutritional powerhouses packed with protein, fiber, and other nutrients. Many pulses are good sources of iron, zinc, and folate. They don't have unhealthy saturated fat. In their natural state, most of them have low glycemic index, so they raise blood sugar levels less than other types of carbohydrates. In addition, pulses are inexpensive, widely available, and easy to prepare. Pulse-based products. Food makers are jumping onto the pulse trend with all kinds of products, everything from pulse flours and pastas to pulse-based snacks, such as crackers, chips, roasted chickpeas, green pea crisps, bean puffs, faux meats such as chicken, quote-unquote, strips made with pea protein, and mixes made with pulse flours for brownies or pancakes. Some of those products offer a healthy way to boost your protein intake, such as 100% red lentil or black bean pasta, or a snack alternative such as crackers or chips with only a few ingredients, black bean, safflower oil, and sea salt, for example. But just because there are pulses in a product doesn't mean it's good for you. Some pulse-based snacks are baking mixes, and baking mixes include only a small amount of pulses along with added sugars. How can you tell if it's healthy? Look at the ingredients list, see if the pulses are just filler or are the bulk of the product, and whether the product is loaded with sugar, sodium, and saturated fat, McManus advises. Pulses on the menu. To incorporate pulse-based products into your diet, considering starting with a pulse flour, such as one made of ground garbanzo beans or peas. Substitute in recipes where you normally use white or refined flour, for example, when you dredge chicken in flour before sautéing it. Or try a pulse pasta instead of pasta made with semolina or durum wheat, which are both refined, not whole grain wheat products. McManus is a bigger fan of using pulses in their natural state. That can mean soaking dry beans or lentils overnight before boiling or microwaving them, or using canned beans. There's no difference nutritionally between dried and canned. If you use canned, go for low-sodium versions and rinse them before using to reduce the sodium. Enjoy pulses on their own, as a side dish, or as a base for vegetables. Sprinkle pulses in salads. Make pulse snacks, pureed beans for a dip with fresh vegetables, or roasted chickpeas for a crunchy treat. For entrees, try white bean soup, lentil chili, pea soup, or chickpea and bulgur wheat salad. Have fun creating and enjoying the enormous benefits of the little seeds. Have you checked your blood sugar lately? Many Americans may be living with the precursor to type 2 diabetes without even knowing it, according to a report released July 18, 2017 by the CDC. The National Diabetes Statistics Report found that more than 84 million people in the United States likely have prediabetes, higher than normal blood sugar levels. Prediabetes can turn into full-blown type 2 diabetes, meaning the body doesn't respond to insulin, a hormone that helps cells absorb blood sugar for energy. Type 2 diabetes increases the risk for vision loss, heart disease, stroke, kidney failure, amputation of toes, feet, or legs, and even early death. The report found that almost 1 in 4 people with diabetes is undiagnosed. It may be possible to avoid diabetes by exercising, losing weight, and cutting back on refined grains and added sugars. The American Diabetes Association also recommends routine blood sugar testing every 3 years for everyone 45 or older if test results are normal. The normal range for a fasting blood sugar test is between 60 and 99 milliliters per deciliter. Levels of 100 to 125 milligrams per deciliter are diagnosed as pre-diabetes. So next week, next time, we will talk about exercise is better than calcium supplements. And that's it. So we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. And please stay healthy.